Everybody all set? Alive.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, February 5th, 2019, at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the invocation by Reverend Dan Miller, pastor of Edgeboro Moravian Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us bow for prayer. Gracious God, we come before you with thanksgiving for the many blessings that we carry with us each day, for the bountiful resources of this earth, for the love and support found in relationships, and for the gifts and talents that we use and offer to others. God of wisdom, grant each of us the wisdom we need to live together peacefully in this community. Lead us in ways of truth, justice, and mercy. Inspire us so that we may not only live together, but thrive together. Plant within us patience, knowledge, and courage to live in an ever-changing world. Lord, we give you thanks for the freedoms we have in this city and country. And with those freedoms come responsibilities that each of us have in order to hold this community together. Help us, from mayor to citizen and everyone in between, to carry out these responsibilities faithfully, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors too. Be with all the leaders in this room and bless their conversations tonight as they continue to serve and act on behalf of this city. We pray these things in the many names that you are known. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Miller. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Mr. Martel. Ms. Negron.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walton.
Present. Mr. Martel informed us he wasn't feeling well this evening, so he's not going to be joining us. However, this is our first city council meeting that we're streaming live on YouTube, so I imagine that he's watching at home. And just a reminder to keep the profanity to a minimum. I'm looking at you, Mr. Gallagher. Seeking approval of the minutes for January 15th. With no comment, the minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. Is there anyone who signed up before the meeting to speak on any subject not being voted on? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the floor. Mr. Caratola?
I didn't sign up, but...
That's fine. If you please give your name and address for the record.
Artie Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hey, okay, we're known as the Little Apple, or we're being known as the Little Apple. We're doing a lot of good things here in the city. I'm sure we want to make things really happen and keep them really happening, keep them on a positive thing. Let's take a look at our big brother, the Big Apple. On New Year's Eve, watch the ball fall. They block certain areas off. You cannot get past there if there's a certain quantity of people. Main reason is because it's easier for accidents to happen, sometimes accidentally on purpose, when there's a crowd of people around. We don't want that happening at Music Fest. I have a suggestion that we would block, you know, barriers up to make a limit of the amount of people in Music Fest. That might be hard to do, but in buildings, there's a fire code. There's so many people permitted in a building. Should be the same thing with Music Fest. Especially when it comes into the tents. The tents get very crowded. Now, if you're going to have crowded people where they're back to back against each other in a concert, I mean, I love going to those concerts myself. I mean, like, we don't want an accident to happen, though, but if it happens, what can I say? It's God's will. But the thing is, we don't want things like that to really happen. So I would suggest to have metal detectors for the tents. For Music Fest, to invest into that, since They are doing very well. A lot of people are donating a lot of their money and time. They're doing so well that that the head of Music Fest gets paid more than our beloved mayor. And, you know, I don't think that's quite fair that he should take that much out of the money that's generously given him by the people at ArtsQuest, you know. Like, but however, he does, and they are making money. They should at least get metal detectors. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But the thing is to make it that there are no accidents that may happen. Accidentally on purpose, in some cases. But we don't want knives and stabbings here in Bethlehem, or shootings, or ice pick things in the ear, and stuff of that nature. We're not Chicago. We don't want to be Chicago. We want to be Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the beloved city, named after the city that Christ was born into. You know, we accepted the wooden horse of gambling in the city, but let's, you know, with the music thing, that's a good positive thing. The gambling thing, I admit I was even at the Sands Casino and heard a band there. You know, that's okay, you can hear the bands. I don't do the gambling thing anymore. I lose too much money when I gamble, and it's money I don't got. So, at any rate, the metal detectors would be a good suggestion for the large tents. Who would push that? I don't know. But I know Music Fest, ArtsQuest isn't going to do that. They don't want money coming out of their pocket. And the other thing, when it comes to the parking authority being an authority on parking, if they want street cleaning to be happening, they should do a little bit more to make it really happen. If somebody puts their phone number, goes to the trouble to put their phone number on their windshield or something of that nature in large letters, they should have the courtesy to give them a call and to get that vehicle out of there. So the thing is, the street could be cleaned. If they call two times at the street and it's not out of there, if they put that thing up there, however can make this thing happen, I don't know. But the thing is, if they don't move it, then they get towed. But the thing is, I think people will move it. I know I would, because it's hard to find parking on the south side. Sometimes I have to park in that spot. And I don't get up sometimes 8 o'clock in the morning to move my vehicle. And then I got to pay a ticket. But the thing is, and then, the main thing is, not the ticket. The street doesn't get cleaned. And they're supposed to be after keeping the streets clean. Let's do what they're supposed to do. Let's make it happen. Let's make Bethlehem be all it can be. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. And just to point out, the head of ArtsQuest is a woman. Any other folks who would like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Yes, sir.
If you don't mind.
Of course. If you just come down and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Arthur Talagin. My address is 1007 Main Street. I don't know how I could ever follow Jay Creed because I know him personally. And good talk. What I want to say is I've had an incident that's come up. I live in a row home on Main Street, very close quarters, very thin walls. I have contacted our local police several times. My neighbors actually have a very large pit bull. He barks constantly, sometimes upwards to 2 o'clock in the morning. I actually have on my phone, I can show you, within the past 2 months, I have called four times. My neighbors are not being cited for this. In all actuality, that's actually a violation of our own ordinance. It's actually an ordinance 707.1111. I'm sorry, .11. It doesn't stipulate a certain time that a dog can bark. It doesn't stipulate whether they're outside or inside. It stipulates a nuisance of a dog or otherwise. I have responded to the police department four times. I've had three officers come out. I've had a dispatcher that actually heard over my cell phone the dog barking loud, creating a nuisance. She said, I couldn't believe that. I hear it. If she could hear it, how loud is it for me? That's my question. I should not have to put up with that. I shouldn't. I have two dogs of my own. Okay? If someone comes to my door, they're going to bark. Dogs are prone to bark. We all know that. But if I tell them, calm down, they calm down. These dogs bark nonstop. The second officer that responded to the call, which was Officer, I want to say, Shook. This officer heard it firsthand. She went to the door and knocked on the door. No one was home. And the dog just kept barking. The thing is, where is my relief? I work 12-hour days. I mean, all of us, we work strenuous days, whether 8-hour, 10-hour, 12-hour. When I come home, I do not want to listen to a dog right next to me barking nonstop till 2 o'clock in the morning. I've called the police, as I should do. It's my duty. I call the police. I let them know. This is a nuisance. I was told by the last officer that I spoke to, we have to look into this. It's been the third to fourth call. Who needs to look into anything? It's constant. It's a nuisance. It violates a Bethlehem City Ordinance 707.11. They should be cited. That dog should have been removed. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there is no longer any type of animal control in our city that's monitored by the mounted police. I have asked three times over for somebody to contact me from the mounted police. No one has. Why? Why is that? That's not fair to anybody that just wants... I mean, I come home, my dogs are respectful. I tell my dogs to mind, they mind. They don't bark. They bark if they're intruded upon. This is an ongoing situation every day. Like I said, if anybody here, anyone, as far as a part of the council, would like to see, I have everything on my phone, all the times I've called. Why is this ongoing? Why isn't somebody responding and taking care of this matter? It's a nuisance. If I were to sit there, I love music. Okay? I love music. If I were to blast my stereo and my neighbors were to call three times, I would be cited.
I understand that could be frustrating, sir. Have you had a conversation with your neighbors?
I'm not allowed to. There's actually been incidents. My neighbor broke my window at one point. So that's gone beyond. I can't talk to my neighbor.
Okay. Well, our chief of police is here this evening, and he might be able to have a conversation with
Mr.
you.
Mr. DeLucia?
Yes. Chief DeLucia is here.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I actually know Mark very well. I'd like to...
30 years?
Yeah.
That may be a conversation you guys can have in the hallway.
I'd love to. I really, truly, honestly would love to.
Another thought, too. I don't know if your neighbors are the homeowner or they're renters.
No, they're renters.
Well,
just as I am.
There would be another recourse to you to contact that landlord.
Understandably.
But... as far as what we can do this evening as a council, there's little, but we can point you to the direction of our chief of police.
I do thank you very much, the council, for hearing me out tonight. Hopefully that things of this regard, you know, maybe people can look into it a little bit further. You know, I like my peace. I like relaxing.
Of course.
As much as I assume you guys would.
Well, thank you for visiting us, and I hope it gets resolved for you quickly.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on? Mr. Gallagher?
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Fight the good fight, gang. Four things to quickly say tonight. I've written about each of them on the blog, but just to get them on the record here. Number one, I don't think anybody has thanked council, maybe President Waldron in particular, for the TV stuff. I'm not sure anybody from the podium has said, great job, thanks for following up on that. This is an improvement. This will help people see what's going on and participate. Really appreciate it. I didn't come to the last council meeting, but I was able this afternoon to watch the meeting. Terrific. Number two, watching the last meeting today, I saw that there were three spots in the meeting where people talked about oversight of authorities and commissions and boards. Mr. Haynes from public comment, twice by Councilwoman Van Wert. I had already posted what I call a modest proposal on my blog as a result of being here for a year and particularly following the parking authority events in the last quarter of last year. I think of City Council as the face of government in the city. People with dog problems and so forth will come and speak to you about those things. But the other analogy I would use, and that I would like you to think about, is City Council as the hub of city government. So my modest proposal was that commissions and boards like the Redevelopment Authority and the Parking Authority and BREA and the Environmental Advisory Council, groups like that, come twice a year, once every 6 months, show up here, give a little presentation, have questions from you guys, have questions from the audience. That City Council think of itself as the hub where all things kind of report and join. And if somebody came to City Council, they would have a sense of everything that's going on in the city. Third thing, I guess we're going to hear about parking again pretty soon. I think in the first quarter of this year, the thing about the fines is supposed to come back. So I did the research on why does the mayor have responsibility for the meters? Why does City Council have responsibility for the fines? So I have two posts in a little bit of detail about that. Nothing magic about that. A city council member said, let's delegate to the mayor the responsibility or the power power over meters. It seems to me that's something council could take back if it wants to. That was a division that nobody seemed to know why was there. I remember the mayor was asked directly, I think, by President Walden, do you know why we had this split? I don't think the mayor said, you know, I don't know. It happened way back. Nothing magic about it, and I think could be changed if you want that. Fourth thing is the Bethlehem moment, and a nod to Jane Persa for the idea on this one. I didn't think it was going to turn out, but it actually turns out to be a kind of interesting thing. Bethlehem moment number five. The Morning Call headline on May 31st, 1957, amputee veteran pleads for peace in dedicating pool as war memorial. Bethlehem moment, May 30th, 1957. On Memorial Day, May 30th, 1957, there were two stars in Bethlehem, one $500,000 pool, the newest addition to our recreational parade of progress on Illix Mill Road, and the other, an honest-to-goodness movie star. The 75 by 160-foot pool was to be a living memorial, a tribute, as the now age-stained plaque to the left of the entrance says, a tribute to those citizens of Bethlehem whose services to our nation in times of peace and war have preserved our freedom and independence. Mayor Errol Schaefer touted the pool as the greatest shot in the arm to his ambitious recreational plan. But the fittingly somber tone of a war memorial dedication was set by the daunting appearance and foreboding words of Harold Russell, who won an Academy Award for his portrayal of a disabled World War II veteran returning home in the brutally frank film The Best Years of Our Lives, which is ranked 37th on the American Film Institute's 100 Best Films of All Time. Both Russell's hands were blown off in a demolition accident on D-Day, and he bared his stumps as well as exhibited his consummate skill with a pair of prosthetic steel hooks in the 1946 film that had just been re-released in 1954. In a stirring message to an audience of 500, Russell, Mr. Veteran, as he was called, who enlisted right after Pearl Harbor and went on to become National Commander of AMVETS and a founder of the World Veterans Foundation, cautioned that we find ourselves in a death struggle with international gangsters led by the evil Soviet Union and under the threat of dreadful atomic war, and that the elusive path to peace lay in sincere international brotherhood. It is a sobering and chilling reflection on this handless hero's hopeful words that in 1957, the Vietnam War was already 2 years old, that the first Bethlehem mortality in that war was only 8 years away, that each of the 32 Bethlehem men killed in that war might have innocently swum in those inviting waters before which Russell spoke and pleaded for peace, and that one or more might even have been there on that very day. This turned out to be an interesting project. One thing I didn't get in here, you guys who are politicians might know, a Joanne Messelainer, Democratic National, or Democratic Party
Committee woman.
She was a 17-year-old lifeguard. She was the first one to jump in the pool. She was the official, gave birth to the pool. She ends up to be the Democratic chairman of Northampton County or something.
Sandra Boscola's hand.
What was that, man?
Sandra Boscola's hand.
Oh, boy. Oh, so the web, the web goes further. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Mr. Antalis.
Stephen Antalis, 77 Ridge. Continuing on the idea of preservation, historic preservation, I think it'd be interesting to take a comparative view of two areas in terms of comparative preservation. Ordinances establish commissions to look at preservation. And on North Bethlehem, we have the HARB, which is, I don't have the reference to the ordinance, but HARB is a very powerful organization and maintains tight control over the city in areas like in Market Street or New Street. It's hard to change your storm door unless you have approved by HARB, and if it's not approved by HARB, City Council probably wouldn't support it. It's that powerful. Across the river, and by the way, what I'm getting at is there's different opinions on the council as to this issue. Come to the south side. Ordinance in 1714 established the new South Side Historic Commission. And clearly, laid out guidelines how that could be maintained. Very clear. And these people studied the South Side. There came a request for a variance to put a 10-story building on 4th Street, clearly violating the ordinance. But as member of council said, the law was not broken, but the guidelines were broken. The same guidelines out on the north side. And the building was approved. Then there's a building on 3rd and New, violating the ordinance of preservation. Guidelines very clear from people who studied it. It was approved. Then there's a parking garage on the same street, violating the ordinance, written by people who studied what is best for the South Side. It was approved. Unfortunately, the South Side didn't have the ordinances prior to what I've just, three cases I've given you, but it started with the Market House, centerpiece of the city, demolished. Two buildings at the corner across from the parking garage, historic building, were destroyed and they put in the gas station. So the point I'm making is this. So in your mind, looking at this logically, do you believe that the best interest of the South Side follow the best interest of the community in terms of its preservation, or the developer? Who won out in these three cases? Clear violations of the ordinance, where on North Bethlehem that would not have happened. So why does it happen on the South Side? So that might help you people behind that table to get more insight as to whose interests are best served on the South Side. The city, against the will of people behind me who argued against it, supported by the ordinance, drawn by people who studied the issue. But they were totally ignored. So ask yourself, whose interests were best served on the South Side in terms of preservation? Developer or the city? Cities or the citizens? Thank you.
Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. Mr. Intellix, you shouldn't feel like you're discriminated against on the South Side, because ordinances anywhere in this city are really far from sacred, with plenty of them on the North Side being ignored as well, and including last Thursday night at the Zoning Hearing Board meeting regarding a variance request from a developer for a property in the commercial business district at 134 East Broad Street, requesting that that property not have to conform to having commercial in the commercial district. But actually, they approved illegally, again, just like they approved allowing a resident, a commercial business on 2 West Market Street in the middle of the residential district, and that they were determined to be illegal in that determination. You guys put your faith, Mr. Waldron, in the Zoning Hearing Board, who last Thursday night did the exact same thing in reverse. They approved 18 residential units in the middle of the commercial district, directly violating the intent and the language in the city zoning ordinance, which says that, you know, commercial on the first floor is required in the commercial district. residential is permitted upstairs, despite my pleas to the zoning hearing board to require the developer to include at least two commercial businesses on Broad Street at the face of the building. The zoning hearing board never picked up on it, never questioned the developer as to whether he could do that or not. And when he did, he just said, I can't do it. He gave no reason why. There's no reason why that an office couldn't be, offices be in the first two buildings, two apartments facing Broad Street, so that it would be consistent with all the other law offices, real estate offices, dental offices that are on that part of Broad Street. We are trying to develop Broad Street with commercial businesses. It could have been a financial service office. That very same financial service office that they approved to be in the residential district. Now, they precluded a financial service office from being in the commercial district. This is bizarre. I mean, we don't have a zoning ordinance here in this city that is being complied at all, and you are facilitating that. And also by appointing people to these zoning hearing boards that already have a predetermined decision that they're going to take care of their favorite developers in this city. And it's just totally inconsistent. It was unbelievable to stand here and bring these to the attention. By the way, our Community and Economic Development Department didn't bother to bring this to the attention of the people. Why? Because they probably want the same developer to make that happen, just like they did for 2 West Market Street. This is bizarre in this city. Ordinances aren't taken care of, whether it's barking dogs, whether it's buildings on South New Street, or whether it's buildings in the residential district of the historic district, or whether it's buildings where you're trying to create a good commercial district. East Broad Street is making a comeback. It's getting decent commercial buildings there. This financial service firm on 2 West Market should have been in that building on East Broad Street. No, they put 18 apartments in there when the zoning ordinance only allows 2 in the space, by the way. So we have a zoning hearing board that's out of control. They once again are totally illegal in their decision. They don't care. They move forward. And then they require us citizens to have to go spend money to file a lawsuit for their illegal decisions. This is bizarre. And you guys need to get a handle on this stuff. You really do. You're appointing people that are rubber stamps to all of these boards. So I just implore you to get a grip on it and start enforcing your ordinances.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I'm planning to speak later on Robert's Rules because I'm still coughing too much, but I've been inspired by Mr. Haynes. You've heard me talk in the past about the zoning hearing board. I refer to them as a very friendly group. I haven't calculated the rate of approval. I think it's well over 50%. Well over 50%. They seem to, and I've been going there for some years now, they seem to bend over backwards to accommodate developers. Now, why this is so, I don't know, but that's my impression, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed somehow. Now, I guess the only way you can do it is in one case, as you folks might recall, the city council actually went to court about Elias Farm Market, and that was in contradiction to the zoning hearing board. That's one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is give greater scrutiny to the appointments to the zoning hearing board. I remember one instance where the paving contractor was nominated for the planning commission. And Karen Dolan, bless her heart, said, do we really need a paving contractor on the planning commission? That sort of thing you can do too. Something should be done because, and I'll speak to this at greater length at another time, but there is a climate in this city that is overly friendly to developers. I don't quite know why this is so. There's a number of possible reasons, and I'll go into it at some other time. But we're, and I've said this before, we're in danger of slowly frittering away. That's a good Pennsylvania Dutch word. It means slowly giving up our quality of life. We have been blessed in a way by, and this is heresy I know, but by the bankruptcy of Bethlehem Steel. Because when I was growing up here, it was a very dirty, noisy, congested town. Good salaries, good wages. But I grew up most of my years in the 200 block of East Edwine Street. And we had white window cells, but they weren't completely white. They had, I can still picture these black specks and of measurable diameter sitting on the window cells. That was commonly known as steel dirt. And that was one thing we endured. It may be the reason I have COPD today, I don't know. But Bethlehem Steel, of course, went bankrupt. And Bethlehem was saved by its location. Pittsburgh lost half its population. Bethlehem did not. Bethlehem lost at most a few thousand and has regained them. Now, part of that is due to the warehouses. They aren't as good as steel jobs. They don't pay as well. But they are jobs. But another thing that has happened, and it really struck me when I came back 15 years ago, the number of people I keep meeting in this town that, for want of a better word, are creative people. They have ties to Philadelphia, and especially New York, and they do all kinds of things. They're writers, they're artists, they're film producers. We have a different city now, and that's why I say we have been blessed in a way. It's a very creative, almost the prototypical university town now. And by approving these projects, one after the other, that are too big, we're replacing creativity with activity. Thank you.
So anyone else would like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening? Moving on to second public comment on ordinance and resolutions to be voted on this evening. Is there anyone who had signed up previously? Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any ordinance or resolution to be voted on this evening? All right, we'll move on. No old business from members of council. We'll move on to communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Councilman Brian G. Callahan, to which is attached a proposed ordinance to amend Article 145, Bethlehem Human Relations Commission, to address wage equality in the city.
I'll refer this to the Human Resources and Environment Committee, Communication 6B.
Memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Create Play for the Payroll Plaza play space. The estimated completion date is December 31st, 2019, and the fee for the contract is $11,000.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Michelle Sahaki, Director of Human Resources, recommending a contract with St. Luke's University Health Network for the Department of Transportation, Drug, and Alcohol Testing. The term of the contract is January 1st to December 31st, 2019, and the estimated fee for the contract is $5,000.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, Communication 6D.
Memorandum from Fire Chief Warren Aki, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Fire Department listed on the attached exhibit. Chief Aki has refused the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution can be placed on the February 19th agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Alicia Carter, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with Lehigh Valley Drug and Alcohol Intake Unit for the Police Assisting and Recovery Program. The estimated completion date is December 31st, 2019, and the fee for the contract is $15,000.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
Memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Engel, Hambright, and Davies for Workers' Compensation Program Management Services. The term of the contract is January 1st to December 31st, 2019, and the fee for the contract is $57,500.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Police Chief Mark DeLuzio, to which is attached an agreement and resolution for the purchase of a duty weapon by a soon-to-be-retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Retired officers purchase their duty firearm at fair market value and according to third-class city code regulations.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, to which is attached a proposed ordinance to increase the treasurer's salary from $1,800 to $2,200 beginning January 6, 2020. Due to employee contribution towards health and dental insurance, the increase is needed in order to avoid the treasurer's biweekly pay from being a negative amount in 2020.
The ordinance can be placed on the February 19th agenda for first reading. Communication 6I.
A memorandum from Edward J. Boscoli, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a price increase to a contract with Wexcon. The increase is for soil remediation in connection to installing a new sanitary sewer along Founders Way. After conducting soil testing and chemical analysis, the soil is classified as residual waste and must be disposed of at an off-site location. The amount is $54,736.50.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Law Bureau listed on the attached exhibit. Solicitor Leeson has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution can be placed on the February 19th agenda. Reports. I have one report. It's a councilmanic appointment for Joyce Hinfield to the Library Board. If the clerk would please read the councilmanic appointment.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby appoint Joyce Hinfield, 209 Pine Top Trail, Bethlehem, to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. The appointment is effective until January 2020, and the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. DeGrone and Mr. Reynolds.
Is there any discussion?
Mr. Waldron.
Yes, Ms. Reynolds.
I just want to say Dr. Hinfield's going to be great here. She's a professor at Moravian College, and she'd reached out to you about being added here. She's a children's author, and I really think that she is going to be an addition here. So I just want to say thank you for putting her on putting her up for nomination.
Absolutely. It makes it pretty easy when people reach out to us asking us how they can serve, as opposed to having to chase them down for their time. Mr. Brown?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say a special thank you to Louise for her patience with me with so many emails all day long. But I really wanted to see her resume, and you reach out to her and send it to us. I think that's something that Councilwoman Dr. Brownward requested before. We used to receive always individuals' resumes, and it helped us. You know, we don't know anything about these individuals, so at least looking at their life experience, work experience, whatnot, can help us. So we used to have that before. We stopped for a while. I know Dr. Van Wert mentioned it a few meetings ago. So I appreciated that you took the time and sent us a resume. It is very impressive. And I'm the liaison for the library board, so I'm looking forward to be with her on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. DeGroom?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just 2 points. With the cold weather last week, I asked Kristen, our director, felt he's in attendance. The average person at the shelter last week, the average number of people at the shelter last week was 50, a little below the max of around 75. And second, the administration will be requesting, we might have sent you the memo this week, a committee to hold meeting on May 23rd for Frank Burnett from our pension, Kristen, to give you an overview of our pension system. So we'll be making that request for a committee to hold May 23rd.
We did get that, and I know the clerk's office had reached out to members of council to confirm availability. So,
thank you. That's my report.
Thank you. Mr. Klum?
Thank you, President Waldron. The Public Safety Committee met Tuesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. We had 3 items on the agenda. The committee considered an ordinance authorizing and ratifying an agreement for the intermunicipal cooperation, known as the Memorandum of Understanding, between Northampton County and the City of Bethlehem regarding the transfer of ownership of the trunked radio network and for operation of the network. The committee also considered the proposed resolution authorizing agreement of sale for the sale and acquisition of communications equipment. And lastly, the committee considered the proposed resolution authorizing the communications site lease of the existing towers. The committee voted to forward the proposed ordinance to full council. The ordinance is on tonight's agenda for first reading. The committee also voted to forward the resolutions to full council, and they'll be on the February 19 agenda, along with the same night as the second reading of the ordinance. That same night, Chief DeLuzzi also gave us an update on the use of the marijuana decriminalization ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cologne. We have no ordinances for final passage, but one ordinance to consider tonight for first reading, which is Bill 01-2019.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, authorizing and ratifying an agreement for intermunicipal cooperation known as the Memorandum of Understanding between Northampton County and the City of Bethlehem regarding transfer of ownership of a trunked radio network and for the operation of said network between the City of Bethlehem and Northampton County. The ordinance is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Mr. Cologne?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just one quick question for Mr. Evans, you probably answer this. We're talking about it before the committee meeting started, about a dollar amount. Now, the agreed dollar amount is in one of the resolutions that we'll be voting on in 2 weeks. This is just the memorandum of understanding about the equipment transfer, correct?
Correct.
Thank you for clarifying. Thank you, Mr. Wald.
And that same resolution would have to be passed by Northampton County?
Yeah, there are 3 documents in total that, as Councilman Cologne indicated, there's a agreement of sale and a document, as well as a sites lease agreement that are not being considered this evening. They're resolutions, they only need the one vote. So the only thing that we have for consideration this evening is a memorandum of understanding. That's an ordinance or requirement.
Did you know the timeline of the is that timeline with within the County Council parallel to what we're
They are running almost, along parallel, and they are considering the identical 3 documents. These documents all came together through a series of negotiations with the city and the county. EMS, Essential Management Solutions, a consultant, provided a template that we brought back, and we went through line by line, and Attorney Leeson put a lot of time in this, and then we took it back to the county, reviewed our concerns. This is a project, of course, that I can't believe we're finally coming down the home stretch, right? 6:30, June 30th is the deadline for this. That's when the funding runs out. still running ahead of schedule. Everything is still moving along just fine. But just an intense effort between all of, you know, the police, fire, EMS, Bob Novotnik, of course, playing quarterback as director of emergency management, that's running the current 911 system, as well as guiding us through this transition. The legal department had heavy carry with what you see in front of you. Greg Kreider is also with us tonight. So if there are any questions that are really detailed, some of them came up in committee. Greg is with us again tonight and works as part of the Public Works Department. Our IT had some hand in this, and there's not a whole lot of human resources in this memorandum. I understand this is more about the equipment, but of course I also want to acknowledge the role of HR in the continuing transition from what we are to what we will be in the future, and what options for our employees are now and going in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Any other comments? Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to echo some of Mr. Evans' comments there by saying, I know that this took a lot of hard work, it took a lot of time, and this is the type of thing that, you know, if it's not done well, you know, we don't necessarily deal with it until down the road. And I know it's something we've been on since it was basically, forced upon us as far as something that the city had to do. So I do want to thank everybody that has worked on this as well. Like I said, this is the type of thing that I know has been a priority for us to make sure we got the best kind of deal possible. Reading through this here, the amount of detail that has gone into, I know, a lot of the decisions and a lot of the negotiations that, you know, the administration, Mr. Lisa, Mr. Vodnik, I'm sure wanted to put in there, make me feel as if, you know, we're getting a deal here that is fair to the people of Bethlehem. So once again, I just want to say thank you for all of that hard work. I know it wasn't easy, I know it's tedious, and I know it's the type of thing that you move it 2 yards at a time, you know, with all these meetings, but I do want to say thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walter.
Any other comments from members of the council? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Pallone?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Create Play for the Payroll Plaza Playscape. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Pallone and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Pallone?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with St. Luke's University Health Network for the Department of Transportation Drug and Alcohol Testing. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Pallone and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Pallone?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Lehigh Valley Drug and Alcohol Intake Unit for the Police Assisting and Recovery Program. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Engel, Hambright, and Davies for the Workers' Compensation Program Management Services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the city-issued handgun assigned to Anthony Leardi, soon-to-be-retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, will please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with WexCon for the 2018-12 Founders Way and BF4 Avenue sanitary sewer improvements. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Buscola, would you be able to give us a little more information on what happened here and what the plan is? This is the first time I've seen something like this come across our desk, I believe.
Change order.
Not necessarily, but for this specific kind of thing.
Okay. So this change didn't come entirely out of the blue. I have a project to install a sanitary sewer line on Founders Way, which is on the south side, off of 3rd Street, heading back towards the Arts Quest Steel Stacks facility, if you're familiar with that area. So it being on old Bethlehem Steel property, there was the risk of running into contaminated soils. So part of the project involved doing soil sampling, and it turns out that the soil is contaminated. So when you run into contaminated soils, you have to dispose of it in an appropriate manner and according to DEP guidelines. So what we didn't know at the time then was the cost exposure. So that's why we're here. For council, we got a price from the contractor to do the change order because it exceeds 10% of the contract value. So this the $52,000 and change is the upside maximum potential. It's going to be done on time and material basis, so we're hoping that number will come in somewhat below that value.
And so that contamination was due to typical uses at the steel site?
This is what we thought was what we were going to run into because of the old Bethlehem Steel site, which we know is a brownfield with this potential for contamination underneath in the subgrade area.
Okay. So this line is... The one that was currently there was an old one.
There's actually nothing there right now. This project is to divert. We have an area along 3rd Street is a notoriously bad area for sanitary sewer overflows, and this is a new line that'll help divert some of the flow off of 3rd Street, go down Founders Way, and it makes a left on 2nd Street, which is the road that goes back to the Museum of Industrial History. So then it ties into another interceptor down there. So this will help alleviate some of the capacity on 3rd Street, with the whole point being of trying to eliminate those SSOs.
Understood. Okay. All right. Thank you. Unless there's any other questions. All right. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Is there any new business for members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee meeting will be held on Tuesday, February 12, 2019, 6 p.m. here at Town Hall, and the subject matters will be year-end budget adjustments to the 2019 non-capital. Or non-utility capital bond issue.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Any other new business, Mr. Reynolds?
Just quickly, an announcement. I can give you number five, Mr. Gallagher. So here's one for you. We originally, last year, were going to do our communication survey that I've been working on with a couple of internal staff members. And it had grown out of my original idea, I guess about 2 years ago, in what I called Engage Bethlehem out of my Bethlehem 2017 proposal. And what we had found after meeting with our internals kind of social media contacts was that we needed to kind of expand that to not just look at social media, but how is it that people interact with the city period. And so what we have come up with, and it's taken a while, is what we're going to call our communication survey. We're going to come up with a better name for it by the time we launch it. But the mayor's office had reached out, and it's going to launch on March 26th at 3:30 p.m. here in Town Hall. And the idea is going to be that we're going to do an event that not only launches the survey, but ideally gets as many of our internal social media contacts as possible to come out to the event. We have a meeting coming up in a couple of weeks internally as far as the different departments and the social media accounts, but the idea is going to be almost to set up a little bit of a kind of like, you know, virtual Twitter, town hall, Facebook, that kind of thing, to kind of not only push out the survey but also elicit feedback about all of the important decisions or important information that we need to gather before we can kind of come up with a strategy as far as like how many people are currently using this, how many people want to be using this, where are people getting their information from. And the goal is to get as much information as possible about who is using our system now, maybe the reasons why some people aren't. And then, you know, as we go forward, you know, it'll make it easier for us then to make different decisions as far as how much to invest in this type of thing. And with our 911 moving on, obviously there's been a lot of conversation about how, you know, the city is necessarily going to take service requests going forward, how to make that process as efficient as possible. So I really think it's an opportunity for all of us to take a look at how we respond to citizens, how we are able to get more people involved, how we're able to give people a sense that we are handling these things efficiently in the 21st century. I think we've been a little bit piecemeal as far as, and just organically, that's how these things happen with a lot of cities. But this is an opportunity for us to kind of, you know, pull all this together and I think use technology in a little bit more efficient way going forward. So I'm going to be sending a memo with that information in the next week or so, but that is going to be March 26th. At 3:30 p.m., Councilman Agron has agreed to help us translate it into Spanish. And one of the keys here is going to be finding different community partners to pass this out to and to forward it out. You know, the survey is going to be open for several weeks. It's not going to be something that takes longer than, you know, 5-6 minutes to necessarily take. But obviously, the more information, the more data we have, the better decisions we can make going forward. So once again, that's going to be March 26th, 3:30. And, you know, obviously, if people have questions between now and then, but I will be sending a memo to council with that information as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Any other new business? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.